Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse number 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, as they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that's a great text. God's people said, Amen. I think that this text is a good place for us to bring to a conclusion our series of messages on an appetite for God. We have looked at texts like, Oh, taste the Lord and see that He is good. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul thirst for God. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. Christ said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. And last week we looked at that great invitation of Jesus in the Gospel of John, where he stands and he cries, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So six passages we have looked at that deal with the idea of a spiritual appetite for God. And I think that it is fitting that we end this series with a passage of Scripture where there is a promise that hunger will be no more and thirst will be no more either. So Revelation chapter 6 closes with the sixth seal, and the seventh is not open until chapter 8. So this chapter, chapter 7, where we read, is concerned with the in-between of these two prophetic events. It is a chapter about a particular multitude of people. We can make it about other stuff. It's about a multitude of people, and it's about the Lamb of God. That's what it's about. And we can waste our time trying to figure out who the beasts are and the elders are. Right off the bat, he says, it's about a multitude. It's about the Lamb of God. So I want us to look at this multitude. And I want to say three things about this multitude. I want to look at the multitude specified. I want to look at this multitude serving. And I want to look at this multitude that is ultimately satisfied. So let's begin by looking at the multitude that is specified. There is a great multitude that is described here in the passage that we read. It is a multitude that has experienced salvation in Jesus Christ. It's not a lost multitude, it's a saved multitude. It's not an unbelieving multitude, it's a believing multitude. Say amen. It is a multitude that has experienced salvation in the person and work of Christ. It is a multitude who are God's people. It is a multitude who are God's possession. They are a people that God by His grace has gathered to Himself. Now, we are presented with certain characteristics of this multitude. How many are there in this multitude? Well, there is a multitude here that no man can number. In other words, they are past counting. They are innumerable. Say amen. This is an innumerable multitude. I hear people all the time who think that God is putting together some small group of people. God's not putting some small group of people together. He's putting together a multitude that is innumerable. God's kingdom is filled by God with a multitude of people that are so great and so numerous that they cannot even be numbered. Now, you understand from God's perspective, God knows every one of them. God knows every name. He knows the exact number that are in His multitude. Say amen. But from our perspective, as we look at this multitude, it is a multitude that cannot begin to be counted. This multitude is made up of people from all nations and all kindreds and all peoples and all tongues. So God has a people that cannot be numbered, and they come from every place on the globe. It's an international multitude. I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but the kingdom of God will include others besides Americans. And that's important because we think that American Christianity is all there is. Nope. God has a people in His kingdom from everywhere. The kingdom is made up of more than just Jews. There are Jews and there are Gentiles in the kingdom of God. This is the fulfillment of the promise God made to Abraham. This is a multitude that are like the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. You can't count them. From everywhere. Every nation blessed by Christ. And notice here that this multitude that is innumerable and from every nation, tongue, tribe, people, stand before the throne and before the Lamb, and they're all wearing the same clothes. What are they wearing? They're all wearing white robes. That's not their righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to them by faith. Say amen. I want you to notice that these aren't religious robes. Somebody help me. There aren't Baptist robes and Methodist robes and Pentecostal robes and Presbyterian robes. These are not religious robes. They're not the robing of good works. They're not self-righteous robes. They are robes that come by faith in Christ and are the righteousness of God. Every single one of these in this multitude are sinners forgiven by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. What are each of this multitude holding in their hands? Palms. What are palms a symbol of? Peace. Every single one of this multitude that cannot be numbered and comes from every people group on the face of the earth are all clothed in the righteousness of God and are at peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So what unites us, what brings us together, what unifies us is that in Christ we are forgiven of all of our sins. And in Christ, the wrath of God has been removed from us in Christ so that we are now at peace with God. Jesus Christ has taken our filthy rags and He has replaced them with robes of His righteousness. Jesus Christ has taken our hostility. He has taken our punishment. He has taken our wrath so that we now stand before God at peace with Him. But not only do you notice that this multitude's all wearing the same clothes. And can I say something here? Nobody stands out. Say amen. All of them saved the same way. All of them have the same righteousness. All of them with the same palms in their hands, peace with God. And do you notice that they all have the same cry? Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." You see, the entire voice of this multitude is singing in unity, is crying out loudly in unity. What are they crying out? They are crying out praises to God for their salvation, and they are magnifying that their salvation, their saving, their redeeming, their being in the multitude of God, their being at peace with God and having the righteousness of God clothing them is through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And only the redeemed can sing this song of salvation. It is a song, it is a cry that the subject is Christ who has purchased their salvation. It is those who are clothed in righteousness of Christ who have this song of salvation on their lips. And let me say this, if you can't sing about Him, maybe it's because you're wearing the wrong clothes. Somebody help me. So here is an innumerable multitude of people who God has called and gathered out of every nation, every kindred, every people, every tongue. It's a multitude of people who are unified by wearing all the same clothes and holding the same palm branches, and they're all crying the same thing. They're clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. They sing about their salvation that has been won for them by the love of God and by the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross for them. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you're part of that multitude. I hope you're part of that multitude. But if you are, you'll have those same qualities. Say amen. Number two. Notice not only the multitude here that is specified, but notice the multitude that serve. Now look with the multitude here, right? If you're in this multitude, look what they're doing. Verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Where are they? Before the throne of God. They're not playing football in the backyard. They're not golfing on the golf course. They are before the throne of God. And what are they doing? Serving. So here, you have this multitude who have come into the presence of God through great tribulation. But in the end, God has brought them into the kingdom of God. They have experienced great tribulation, but God has brought them. They have come out of great tribulation, and God has brought them into the kingdom of God. God has assembled these people from all ends of the earth who have endured much tribulation. But the tribulation is over. Say amen. Trouble is over. Hallelujah. Persecution is over. Somebody say amen. How many are glad that there is coming a day when there'll be no more trials? There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more troubles. There'll be no more tribulation. How many are glad that day is coming? They have come out of great tribulation. All of that is behind them because now they stand in the presence of God before the throne of God. Therefore, because tribulation is behind, because trials are behind, because pain is behind, because trouble is behind, because they always stand before the throne, what do? They serve Him. You don't go to heaven to get served. You go to heaven to serve. Out of gratitude, out of thankfulness, with a grateful heart, with a joyful heart, you serve the one who has brought you into His glory. And how often do they serve Him? Day and night. Always. Always. Day and night. Day after day. Night after night, they serve Him. And how do they serve Him? They serve Him by worshiping Him. They serve Him by praising Him. And they do it together. There is not part of the multitude that worships and serves while the other part sits and watches. Somebody help me. I think we probably got a lot about worship wrong in the church. It's not about sitting and watching somebody else worship and praise. But I'm glad to tell you, there's coming a day when we will get worship right. And there will not be any who are looking at their watches to see when this thing's going to get over so they can get on and do whatever they want to do. There won't be anybody in heaven searching through their phone looking at the latest post from Facebook. Somebody help me. Won't be anybody in heaven going through the latest Twitter feed. No, no, no. Every member of this multitude serves God with continuous and constant worship of Him. Do you know why in heaven you don't need any sleep? Because day and night you're going to be serving God with glorious worship. And why are they worshiping? They're worshiping because they had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Their filthiness, their guiltiness, their sinfulness has been washed away. Their dirtiness has been cleansed. Their sins have been removed by the blood of the Lamb. They are so grateful. They are so appreciative. They are so thankful that sins have been removed, that their filthiness is gone, that there is no more guilt, and they stand before the throne of God that day and night they worship. They are sinners who know they have no business being included in the multitude. But there they are, gathered by God in this wonderful multitude by the sacrifice of Christ who died in their place. You see, what makes them and what makes us a part of this multitude is not what they did or what we do. It's what Jesus has done. Nobody in heaven gets worship or praise but God. Say amen. We worship Him because we nobodies have been saved by the work of Christ as He shed His blood for the remission of sin. I'm a nobody, but listen, I'm in a multitude. And if you ever wonder what you're going to be doing in heaven, let me help you. Day and night, you will be serving God by offering Him worship that He rightly deserves. What do we owe God for saving us? What do we owe God for redeeming us? What do we owe Christ for dying for us? We owe Him an eternity of worship. For all eternity, we are going to make much of Christ. Say amen. For all eternity, we will be making much of God. All glory and all praise will be directed toward Him. So everyone in this multitude gets into the multitude, gets into the presence of God, stands before the throne of God all the same way by the blood of Christ. And everyone in this multitude does the same thing. They serve God with unceasing worship. In heaven, you won't wake up one morning and say, "Wonder what we're going to do today." Say amen. All of that confusion and all of that is going to be taken away. You're going to be doing one thing: serving God by worshiping and praising Him. Say amen. We'll all be doing the same thing. Every single one of us will one day, for all eternity, be known for nothing else but being worshipers of God. Glory. Say amen. Notice thirdly. I know that seemed like that really excites y'all. Can't wait to get there, it seems. You mean it's not going to be about me? No. Number three. We see the multitude that is specified. We see the multitude that serves. We see, thirdly, the multitude that is satisfied. Verse 16. This innumerable multitude from every tribe and nation and kindred and tongue, this multitude that's all dressed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, that all is at peace with God, that all sing the glory of Christ and His salvation, who stand before the throne, who worship Him day and night, this multitude shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Because the Lamb, Christ, which is in the midst of the throne, He shall what? He shall feed them. The reason they don't hunger is because Christ will feed them. And the reason that they don't thirst is because Christ leads them into the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. If there's one thing that we can say, is that while we are on this earth, we are never fully, completely satisfied. There is a hunger and there is a thirst that in a sense just cannot be satisfied in this life. Even in spiritual things, even for godly things, even for God, don't we hunger for more and thirst for more of Him? And I thank God that His presence is with us. And I thank God that His presence is in us. But there is in all of us a desire to be more in His presence, right? Isn't there a desire in your heart to praise Him in person? To be before His throne? To see the One who saved you? To stand and admire the One who hung on the cross for you? That's a desire of my heart. Isn't it the desire of your heart? I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to be satisfied until that day comes. The thing about eternity is that in our salvation in Christ, there is coming a day when we will be eternally in the presence of God and we will be completely and fully satisfied. Christ in the midst of the throne is triumphant. Say amen. He is victorious. He is triumphant. And we are to live life today with our sight on that day. There is coming a time when we will hunger and thirst no more. And the reason is that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, in the midst of the throne, will be actively feeding us and leading us unto living waters of this fountain. In other words, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. Now, what makes you think that stops when you die? My shepherd here will be my shepherd there. The One who shepherds me here will shepherd me there. Say amen. He is going to shepherd us all through eternity. The Lamb that sits victorious on the throne, the Lamb who has substituted Himself for this multitude, now shepherds this multitude. He leads them, He feeds them, and God wipes away every one of their tears. You see, this Lamb that is in the midst of the throne is the Good Shepherd, who laid down His life for this multitude. We will be in His presence. We will see His face. We will look upon His scars, and we will serve Him day and night, and He will make sure that we are completely satisfied. There will be no hunger, no thirst, no tears. What is there in hell? Because if there's a heaven, there's a hell. So what is life like in hell? If in heaven, in the presence of God in Christ, there's satisfaction, no hunger, no thirst, no tears, what would hell be like? Wouldn't hell be never being satisfied? Wouldn't hell be a place of eternal hunger and eternal thirst and eternal tears? But that's not the way it is in heaven. That's not the way it is in God's kingdom. In the presence of God, there is perfect satisfaction because everything that we need, we find in Him. How can Christ feed me to complete satisfaction? How can Christ lead me to complete satisfaction? Because everything that I need is in Him. So when we draw our last breath on this earth, we will lift our eyes in the presence of God. And you know what? At that very moment, we will never, ever hunger again. We will never again thirst. We will never again cry tears of pain and sorrow. Now, I don't understand all that is involved in heaven and eternal existence and all of those things. But what I do know is that with God there is satisfaction. Because He feeds and He leads and He gently wipes all tears away. So here's my question. Should my life and your life here not reflect how our lives will be lived? Isn't this a multitude that's focused on the Lamb? Isn't that what eternity is going to be like? A multitude of God's people focused completely on the Lamb. And is that not what my life should reflect here? You see, the righteousness that is required by God is a righteousness that is achieved for us by Christ. And it is a righteousness that is bestowed to us by the Spirit of God. That's how we're saved, and that's how we're added to this multitude. We are in this multitude by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Are you in the multitude? I hope you are. And if you're not, I pray you will be before you leave this place today. And if you are, I hope you leave today gossiping the gospel so that many more may hear and come to Christ and be a part of this multitude. Amen. There's coming a day. No more hunger. No more thirst. Because we'll be perfectly fed by Christ. Perfectly led by Christ to living water. And God will wipe away every tear. Hallelujah. Hope you're in the multitude. Let's pray.